Open back to Ruth chapter 3. I need to have one more word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you in fear. We open this word in fear. Dear Lord, would you please bless your word? And dear Lord, as we open this and as we look into what you've written, Lord, we come in fear. We come in fear. We come lowly, we come humbly, and we pray that we see your glory in this. You said your glory is that you would show mercy. As we look at your mercy, Lord, please have mercy on us. We come in fear. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ruth 3, verse 1 says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." This sinner has been called by grace, brought to the field of Boaz, who represents Christ, gleaned from his word, received the fruit and the blessing of his favor. And now this sinner says in verse 5, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I will obey your word. I will obey it." That's the heart that God gives to each of his own. He says, "Come, we come." He says, "Bow, we bow." He says, "Confess, we confess." God's people obey his word. Verse 6. "And when she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? Who art thou?" Christ meets his people in their darkness. She came at night. He meets them where they are in their darkness, and he makes them admit who and what they are. Verse 9 says, "He said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." I'm just a handmaid. My name is Ruth. I'm the one who's from the land of Moab, the land of sin. Our Lord met with Jacob and he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "It's Jacob." I'm a sinner, a trickster, a supplanter. But he said, "Lord, bless me. Bless me." By God's grace, he won't allow me to let you go until you bless me. Until you bless me. Verse 9 says, he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. When sinners learn something about Christ, their Redeemer, they learn something about God's holy law. That's what they learn. When God opens a sinner's eyes, and when that sinner finally sees Jesus Christ crucified, and he understands what that means, and he understands what was accomplished in it, and he understands what is the result of it, when a sinner finally understands that, he'll finally understand something about God's holy law. Do you know why Jesus Christ died? You know why Jesus Christ died? God's holy law said he had to. That's why Jesus Christ died. He had to. Before I could be redeemed, my sin against God's holy law had to be paid. It had to be. Do you know what was accomplished when Christ died? My sins were paid. They were paid. Do you know what the result is of his death? I'm now a free man. I'm a free man. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Free from my sin. Free to approach the throne of grace. Verse 12 says, And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. That's God's law. Verse 13 says, Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Here's what he's saying. Let the books be opened. All right? Let your book be opened. Everything you've done that's been recorded in heaven, let it be opened. And let's see if the law says you're justified in all your works. All your deeds are pleasing to God. All the thoughts of your mind are pleasing to God, every single one of them. All the feelings of your heart are pleasing to God. There's no hate, never been found there. No lust was ever found there. No pride. Let's see if the law says, This is my kinsman. This is a faithful brother or sister of the perfect and holy law of God. Kin to the law's perfection. Verse 13 says, Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay down at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. David said, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, has helped me and comforted me. Show me a token." Every time a sinner comes to Christ truly begging for help, every time the Lord will give them a token. Every single time. A token to just help them lie down and rest. Lie down and wait. Verse 18 says, "Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." He will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing. Now we're about to look at something that is so holy. I fear preaching it. I'm not afraid to preach it. But it gives me great fear. It gives me extreme fear. Lord, help us. In the next chapter, the last chapter, a great transaction is going to take place. And everything that we just read about in chapter 3 is the heart of what happened leading up to the great transaction. And so that we can understand this all, I'm going to tell you what happened right before the great transaction. Substitution. Substitution. And it is holy. I have thrown that word around before. It is holy. Now, if I was a teacher at the high school and for whatever reason I couldn't make it in one day, what I would do is call for a sub, a substitute. I need somebody to take my place. I need somebody to represent me, to stand there for me, as me, on my behalf. I need a substitute. Well, on a particular day, 2,000 years ago, I was called to be tried and convicted and punished for my sins. And I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand. So Christ became my substitute. And this is holy. He stood there to represent me. He did not stand there to represent himself. If he had, he wouldn't have died. He stood there for me. He stood there as me. He stood there on my behalf. Now, here's what I want to show you this morning. I want to show you the heart of our substitute. I want to show you a small glimpse of something that can never be described. Never be described. The personal suffering and pain that He endured for us. We're about to look at His heart. You know how holy this is? Our God has a heart. He said, David is a man after my own heart. We have scriptures in the Old Testament where it says things like, it repented the Lord that he made man. Things like, the anger of the Lord was kindled. Right? We have verses in the New Testament that say, he was moved with compassion. John 11:33 says he groaned in the Spirit. John 11:35 says Jesus wept. Can you imagine what it must have been like to watch God cry? How holy is that? I cannot understand that. I can't understand that. Not at all. Do I believe he cried? Yes, I do. Look at verse 8. Ruth 3, verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. Why would it say that? Boaz represents Jesus Christ, right? In him is strength. Is there any doubt that Boaz represents Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Redeemer? Is there any doubt? Then why would it say that the man was afraid? You want me to tell you the answer? Substitution. Substitution. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing. Now, every vile, wretched sinner that came to him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if you will. That's what that leper said. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Christ said, I will. He asked two blind men one time, what will ye that I should do unto you? What do you want me to do to you? They said, Lord, that our eyes may be open. And he touched them, and they received sight. Every putrefying, wicked sinner who came to Christ saying, if you will, Christ did, every one. Now the spotless, holy, pure Son of God comes to his own Father and says, Father, if thou be willing. But his father wouldn't do it. Why? Substitution. He was crying that representing me. He was crying that as me. You know what I deserve? To die. I deserve to die with all my sin. Verse 41 says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. and being in an agony. The word agony means great anxiety. And the word anxiety means worried about what's going to happen next. Can you imagine that? Verse 44 says, "In being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly." That means intent without ceasing. Without ceasing. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed about this. Then he prayed about it again. Then he prayed about it again without ceasing. Why would he pray again? Shouldn't he have known the end from the beginning? Why would he beg for this? Isn't that the whole reason he came? Didn't he just have a conversation with Moses and Elijah about it? Why would he ask this of the Father and then ask it again more earnestly than he did before? Why? Substitution. He gave his people his strength. And he took their weaknesses. He gave his people his faith. And he took their doubts and their fears. God became a man. For one glorious purpose only. Substitution. Turn with me over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful." That word means distressed and sad. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That means distressed of mind. Verse 38 says, "Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful." That means completely grieved. Intensely sad. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Hebrews 12 says he did this for the joy that was set before him. Why was he so sad? Substitution. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And that word touched doesn't mean, well, I'm touched. It means he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was touched by my sin. He did not just die on the behalf of my sin. My sin touched him. My sin touched him. My sin really was nailed to the cross. It was pressed into him. Turn to Mark 14. This thought is so holy, I can't hardly imagine it in my mind. Mark 14, verse 32 says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit ye here while I shall pray.' And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed." That means utterly astonished, filled with sudden surprise. Oh, it's unholy to even do that. Filled with sudden surprise. Verse 33, "He taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death.'" According to the definitions of the words that God put right here, this is what our God, Jesus Christ the man, is saying. "I am so sad. I am so distressed. There is enough fear in me over this to kill me right now." What caused all of this? What caused all of this? A sinner came to him and said, "Will you cover my sins? Would you spread your skirt over thine handmaid? If the law won't do it, yes, I will." Verse 34 says, "And saith unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch.' And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me.'" Take it away. Oh, if there's anybody else, if there's any other way, let this not happen. Father, let this not happen. Oh, God. And Lord, I say this fearfully. I'm afraid. I'm distressed. Let this not happen. That is exactly what I would have said. That is exactly what I would have said right then and there. "Lord, I'm afraid. Let this not happen." If he had been any other way during that hour, he wouldn't have been me. You know that? Moses said, "Show me your glory." And he said, "I will be merciful. It's my glory." How high he is how glorious he is. How low he went is how glorious he is. Go with me now to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, look at verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Naomi told Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." He will not rest until the cry goes forth, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine." He will not rest until it's done. You just sit and wait. I want to sing that song. It's 207. Let's stand together.